Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. The text for my sermon today is, well, this is one of the most familiar verses in the whole Bible. It's the verse I'm going to preach on is so important that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be thinking about this verse every single day of your life. And yet, now here's a tragedy. I believe this is one of those famous verses in the Bible that people just gloss over. And it just, tragically, it doesn't get the attention that it deserves. I must say personally, as I've been meditating on it this week and the last few weeks, really preparing to preach this message, it's been such a blessing to me. It's been, as God's word does, reviving my soul. I'm praying it'll be a blessing to us this morning as we focus on it. If you're there in Matthew chapter 6, please take a look down at verse 12. It's the passage Adam read earlier. Right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught every Christian to pray like this daily, along with the prayer for our daily bread. In verse 11, we're to pray like this, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, I'm hoping everyone here today has an interest in forgiveness. Is that right? You'd be a strange person coming to church if you had no interest in forgiveness. Most people are innately aware, aren't they, that there's something wrong between us and a holy God. To one degree or another, even if the world has corrupted your theology, your conscience bears you witness that you are in trouble with God and you need forgiveness. Now here in verse 12, the word that Jesus uses for the problem that sin creates between us and God is debts. Ophelema in Greek, debt, it's what you owe. It's just another word, really, to speak about our sins. And this issue of sin and forgiveness is actually at the very heart of the Lord's Prayer. And if you look down at verse 14, Jesus immediately applies what he's just been talking about with respect to sin and forgiveness in this prayer. And in verse 14, he uses another different word for sin when he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses," that's a different Greek word, paraptoma, the trespass, transgression would be another way of translating it. It's when you step over God's line. Again, in verse 15, "But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses," and there's a serious matter. Then again, on another occasion when Jesus was teaching the same prayer to his disciples, different setting, he used the most common word for sin in the same version of this sentence, hamartia, sin, that's falling short of God's standard. And so in Luke 11 and verse 4, the Lord's Prayer reads like this, "And forgive us our sins," and then he says, "For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us." And so there, in that version of the Lord's Prayer, you've got the word "sin" and "indebted" paralleled with each other. It's just proving that Jesus is using these different words to speak of one basic issue. In other words, he's using different words to talk about one basic problem, which is our sins. And the issue in our verse here is the forgiveness of our sins. Now, let's just stop and think about that for a moment, shall we? This is the same issue that is at not just the heart of the Lord's Prayer, the very heart of the Christian message. This is the message about the forgiveness of sins. According to Luke 24:47, when Jesus commissioned his disciples, he sent them out everywhere into the whole world to preach a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It doesn't get more basic a description of the Christian message than that. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. When Paul the Apostle preached the gospel in Antioch, in Pisidia, Acts 13:38, he said, that through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. This is the message, forgiveness of sins. That's why it's called good news. Good news, because forgiveness is available. So before I go any further, I just want to talk to you. Maybe you're watching this, maybe you're here today, and you're not yet sure of where you stand with God. Let me ask you this question. Are your sins forgiven? Past tense. Has that happened to you? Is it right between you and God? Are you saved? Are you forgiven? This is asking the question, have you actually done what Jesus is talking about his followers need to do daily? Have you done this ever? Have you come to God asking God, forgive me for my sins? Have you done that? You know why Jesus died on the cross, don't you? You to pay the price for sin. That's why he hung and suffered there. He was bearing, as Peter puts it, bearing our sins in his body on the tree. 1 Peter 2:24. Another one, Paul writing to Timothy, this is a true saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the heart of it all. But let me ask you this question. If you can know that Christ came to save sinners, you can know that Jesus died on the cross to save sinners, but have you ever come to God in prayer? Have you actually ever gone to God begging God to forgive you? Have you got to the point where you can say, he saved me? He saved me. You know, don't you, that otherwise, when you meet the holy judge of all the earth, which we all must, otherwise that's going to be the day on which you have to pay for your own sins, right? I just want to plead with you, friend, if you're not yet in that position, I want to plead with you just to come to God. We had that hymn. I didn't know that was scheduled. Come to God just as you are, just as I am, without one plea, save that thy blood was shed for me. And this has always been the only way to come to God, is just to come to God in prayer and saying, God, save me, forgive me through the blood of Jesus, through the death of Jesus. Please, would you forgive me? Repenting of your sin, of course. You can't mock God, but trusting in his death. But can I say, you have to actually come and ask for it. None of us know, do we, what a day may bring. Today, if you haven't yet come, can I ask you this? What's stopping you? What would hold you back from coming to God for this forgiveness? You could do it right now. You could bow your head right now and come to God asking to be forgiven. Would you do that? I know for many of you, for most of you, as I look out, praise God, you can look back on the day you did that, and as you came asking, God saved you, and your sins were forgiven, and you knew it. Praise God. And all of you who've done that know that there is nothing in this world, is there, like knowing that your sins are forgiven, that it is done, that the sins are gone. The word forgive is a wonderful word, isn't it? In the Greek, aphiemi, it means to let go, to release. With regard to debt or sin, it's the idea of completely just letting the matter go. It's the idea that God has forgiven the debt that we owe. All God's charges against us dropped. Christian, let me speak to you this morning. Have you reveled in that word recently? Can you say about yourself now? Can you pause and say and think about yourself and say the word forgiven, forgiven, forgiven? This is such a that God would let the charges against you drop. Can you sing that old hymn? My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Is that you? Is that your hope this morning? And all because Jesus paid it all. Praise God. What an amazing Savior we have. I mean, he would go to the cross so that he can pay the price, so that the Father can let us go free. What a Savior. What a Savior. This is not you earning your pardon. This is God, if I can put a computer illustration on it, this is God logging in to the heavenly computer server with a file, with all your sins stored in it, with his God's administrative password. He logs in and then erases the file. It's gone. There's a little notification that pops up. Are you sure you want to do this? This action cannot be undone. And God clicked with your file, with your name, and on that file it said all sin, past, present, and future. And God clicked yes. Erase. Well, not really erase. Transfer to the account of Jesus, who erases them at the cross. Isn't that just the most amazing thing ever? This is forgiveness. This is what we come for. This is the new covenant, isn't it? Jeremiah 31, 34. For I will forgive their iniquity, their perversity, their bentness, their crookedness, the wickedness that's in them. I will forgive and I will remember their sin no more. This is Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And listen, remembers your sin no more. No more. It's gone. Erased. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Does it apply to you? I've given my sermon today the title. You've been reading it and maybe wondering what on earth I'm preaching about, because the title of my sermon is When God Won't Forgive. When God won't forgive. And I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about a couple of really tragic scenarios, a couple of awful situations when God just won't forgive like that. It's possible, it's available. You could know this. We could know this, but there are a couple of situations in which God will not forgive. And I want to talk to you about that today. So if you're taking notes, I'm giving you two scenarios when God won't forgive. And the first scenario is that God won't forgive you when, listen, you won't ask. I mean, it's that simple. You won't ask, and God will not forgive. Look, let me speak to you again. If you're not yet saved this morning, I want to be speaking to someone perhaps who's watching this, who's never really known this full and free forgiveness that's available. And you know it's available. You know it's possible through Christ. And I am really troubled as a pastor, because I look out and I meet people and I think they understand the gospel. They know that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. Why won't they come to God and ask for it? I often wonder if there's some problem in my own preaching. Maybe I'm just not preaching the way I should. Somehow you're not getting it. People that can come again and again and hear the message again and again and still you're not saved. I mean, what's wrong? Is it me? Please help me, someone, to preach more effectively. But look, it seems to me that there are a lot of people who fall into this category, perhaps, who always stay on the outside because you never actually come to God and ask. And, you know, despite church attendance, interest in the gospel, you never get to experience it for yourself. Well, can I plead with you today? You actually need to do this. You need to go to God and beg him for forgiveness. That's the heart of it. And for that, you've got to accept that you're a wretched sinner. And that's often the stumbling block. Every sin of yours is recorded in heaven. Think about it. There is a file with your name on it. And you can't log into that file and change the account. You can't break into heaven and move a few files around. And if I can put it like this, God is there and he has the ability to click that box that says erase this, transfer it to Jesus, put it in the file marked cross under Jesus, please. And God is ready and willing to do that for you, but you won't ask. What's wrong with you that you won't ask? Maybe it's this. Maybe you know that you'd have to give up your sin. And that's what stops you. I mean, I'm asking you to think about it. Maybe you need to talk to someone about it. But maybe it's this, that you every time you think about asking, you think about your sin that you'd have to let go of. And you just like, I can't do that. I can't do that and have this. And I won't let go of this. You'll go to hell with this, by the way, whatever that is. You'll go to hell with it unless you repent of it and come to God begging for forgiveness. It ain't going to work. Sometimes people want to clean up their life a bit. They want to clean up their file before they ask God to delete a few insignificant things that they think are insignificant. Guys, that's impossible. You can't do it. So I'm going to ask you again, are you going to go to your grave like this? Is this how it's going to be forever? You'll be lost. And when you meet God, you will have to pay. There is no other way, no other name given among men by which we may be saved. You have to come to God. I can't do it for you. A priest can't do it for you. You have to come to God. And the reason you'll be lost is just simply because you would never ask. Now, I want to move on to speak to people who have been saved, people who know that they're forgiven, but can I just plead with you as an unbeliever, perhaps one more time, can I plead with you, just look, don't let this moment pass, whoever you are, listening, watching, here perhaps, don't let it pass. Today is the day of salvation, right? If today you hear his voice calling you, don't harden your heart. You have to actually come, and it starts with a decision, and I'm going to beg you to make that decision here and now and to just come to Jesus, because he would save you and you would know that you're forgiven. If you know that you're forgiven, you know you're forgiven, right? If you would know that he has received you. And I'm going to plead with you not to leave it for another day, because none of us know what a day may bring. When a believer, let me speak with you. I want to speak to you. You believe, do you, Christian? You believe that Jesus paid it all, that Jesus paid your debt. You think of what God said about his people Israel when he said, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. And by faith, you say, that's what Christ has done for me. It's gone. He's erased my file. Past, present, future sins, gone. Praise God. So here's a question. Why does God want you to ask forgiveness every day? Because he does, doesn't he, right? We just read it in his Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Why does he want you to do this daily? If you are forgiven already and God has blotted out all your transgressions, past, present and future, and to be remembered no more, why does he want you to be asking for forgiveness daily like this? I mean, it's just strange, isn't it? But actually, the answer is quite easy. When you understand what the Bible teaches, the answer is always to see what the whole Bible teaches. And get this, when we're forgiven, we're also adopted, right? And we now have God as our heavenly Father. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says, he disciplines those he loves, right? So he chastises everyone who he accepts as a son, as a child. God adopts you into his family. And as every adopted child knows, you get discipline, right? From your loving parents. You can't escape that. Because loving parents don't let their children get away with whatever they want to get away with. Loving parents, children, listen up. Let me have the ear of every child in the room for a second. Loving parents discipline their children. Because children who do not have discipline, they don't have love from their parents. It takes a lot, by the way. Let me speak as a father. It takes a lot of self-control as a father to discipline your child when they're being naughty, because it's not pleasant. It's horrible, isn't it? No discipline is pleasant at the time. That's what the Bible teaches us, Hebrews 12. But afterwards, when you've been trained by it, it brings the harvest of righteousness. That's what the Bible says. And so your parents discipline you faithfully because they love you. And hopefully they never discipline you in anger. And they wait until they've calmed down. And then they discipline you carefully and patiently and guardedly. And God disciplines every child of his. Every true child gets discipline, right? Just as Jesus explained to Peter, if someone has had a bath, they're all clean all over, and then they only need to wash their feet, and they're clean again. Now, that made sense in an Israelite world where you walked around in sandals in a hot and dusty climate. I guess for us, it'd be a bit more like if you've had a bath and you're doing stuff and you've got your hands dirty, you only need to wash your hands again, and you're clean all over, right? Because when you use your hands, you get germs and all sorts of things on your hands, and then you have to wash your hands, and you're clean. You're ready. You're clean everywhere because you've had a bath, and you just clean your hands, and you're ready to go. That was Jesus' illustration to Peter to help him understand the need for daily cleansing from the things that defile us. You are in this world, and inevitably you're defiled by sin, by issues and things that would grieve the Holy Spirit that you do, things that would offend your Heavenly Father that you have done today, already today, this morning, even in your prayers. There's enough sin to damn you, as our forefathers would say. And yet, to be acceptable to God, you're going to need this daily cleansing. And that's the picture that God gave us. So it's not talking about needing forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. It's not talking about us as believers needing forgiveness in order to not to be damned. It's talking about us needing forgiveness in order not to be disciplined. You got that? Very simple. So it's daily cleansing to have a blameless walk with God. Hebrews 12:6 tells us all about that. 1 John 1:9 teaches us we need to be continually, repeatedly confessing our sins to God. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? That's 1 John 1:9. Praise God. So if I can put it like this very simply, God, in his infinite wisdom, God has said to every Christian, today, you still got to ask. You still got to ask. You remember my big point, the first scenario? When would you not get forgiveness? If you don't ask. When God won't forgive, God won't forgive you when you won't ask. But now we're talking about discipline, and we're talking about our daily issues of sin, and I'm saying God wants you as a Christian to come daily to him asking for forgiveness for your daily sins, for your everyday sins. And so we're supposed to be repenting daily. This is what our forefathers said. You keep short accounts with God. That's what they said. Now, I just want to level with you, Christian. God wants us to be dependent upon him, doesn't he? He wants us to be dependent upon him for daily bread and to pray for it. But he also wants to be living in this state of recognizing our need of cleansing on a day-to-day basis. And that's how he set up the Christian life. I guess if you found a better way to do the Christian life, maybe you should go to God and tell him, because Jesus forgot that. Jesus missed that. If you've discovered that there's a better way, maybe God needs to know. Try that, see how it goes. And unless you think that's going to go well with you, it's probably better to approach things differently, right? And I'm going to say that means that you and I need to make a time each day when we come to God and pray about our sins of this day and asking for forgiveness. Now, look, just think about this for a second. Does God want to forgive your daily sins? Well, he's told you to come and ask for forgiveness. That's a bit of an encouragement, isn't it? Every parent rejoices when their children finally get it and realize that they've got to confess their sins quickly and own up to things quickly before, and then they won't be in the same trouble as if they cover up and hide it. And that's just the reality of growing up in a family. You've got to learn, kids, listen. You've got to learn to confess your sins to your parents quickly. And then you won't be in the same amount of trouble. Praise God. But that's what your Heavenly Father wants you to learn, Christian, as well. He wants you to go and pray for forgiveness in order that he can forgive you and not discipline you for your sins. Can I put it like this, though, Christian? You have not because you ask not, right? This is simple. You can feel like I've blown it, right? You feel as though I can't go to God. I can't go to God now because I knew his presence. I knew the joy of the Holy Spirit. I knew the joy of my salvation in the past. But now I can't go to God because look at my sin. And Jesus, yes, Jesus paid it all, but look at what I've done. How can I possibly go to God now? Christian, you're missing the point. God wants you to go to him, and he's telling you today to confess your sins and not to hide it. And remember David, and then you can take courage and go. And remember that his intimate fellowship with the Lord was greater even after his restoration from his sin with Bathsheba. So let nothing discourage you. Go. And if you're like me, you're just at this point. I haven't seen anyone actually do it, but if you're like me at this point, you kind of want to go like this, don't you? Why do we keep forgetting to do this? It's because we fall back into a works mentality and we feel like we've got to deserve it. You can never deserve it. So come, ask for forgiveness, Christian. Well, before I move on very briefly, I've talked to those of you who are not yet saved. I've talked to those of you who are believers. Now, I just want to point out one more thing. Can I talk to us as a church? As a church, I want to point out a word. It says here, forgive us our debts. It's plural. Now, obviously, each of us individually needs to ask for forgiveness for our own individual sins. But there's something more here, and I don't think there's any other way to interpret this than to say that it also means that we have to be concerned about our sins, can I say, as a church, or the sins in the church, the sins of others in the church. If you read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there's no way around this. Jesus can have something against a church for their sins, the sins that they tolerate even. So look, all I'm saying is, as a daily issue, we are supposed to be praying, all of us are supposed to be praying, and to have it on our hearts and on our minds that the sins of our congregation, our fellowship. Now, you got to know that your pastors carry this burden every day, and it's a lonely job. And I'm going to put in a plea for you. Please join us in agonizing over the sins of this congregation, would you? They keep us awake. Your sins keep us awake at night. We don't want to be the only ones awake. We want you to join us. If you were all praying about them, maybe we'd get some sleep. Okay, I jest, but seriously, if you think you see problems in the church, come and walk in our shoes for a few days. believe me when I say, as pastors, we see a lot more problems and a lot more sins in this church than you could ever see. And hey, guess what? God sees even more than we see, by far. Some people are concerned about the sins in the church, and then they just leave. And they're like people abandoning a ship because they think it's sinking. And then some of them get into a lifeboat, and then they turn around and shoot at the ship to try and help it sink a bit quicker. Or they shoot at the bridge to try and kill off the captain. Other people shout from the lifeboat and say, come on down, get out of that ship quick. We think you should leave too. And the reason is people's sins. They're concerned about people's sins in the church. Well, can I just say that Jesus wants us to be concerned about people's sins in the church? He wants us even to be concerned about other people's sins in the church. But he wants you to be praying, forgive us our sins, right? We're supposed to be bailing water. We're supposed to be fixing leaks. We're supposed to be obeying the commands from the bridge, if I can carry on the ship metaphor, in order to keep the ship afloat, not jumping overboard and saying abandon ship when that hasn't been given as the order. And we shouldn't let our anger at other people's sins cause us to sin. And even our anger at the church's sins. Well, I guess that's a good topic of conversation for Wednesday night. I must move on. It's just one scenario in which God will not forgive. If we won't ask, and I'm saying we need to ask in all those areas. But now here's the second scenario, and this will be quicker. God won't just forgive your sins. Also, secondly, when you won't forgive, and forgive us our debts, and then he says, as we have forgiven our debtors. Luke 6:4, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Remember Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15, this was his application of the prayer. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now that's really serious, right? None of you want to fall into that category. So let me just unpack it briefly. I'm going to talk about our debtors, our duty, and our danger. Three subheadings here. First of all, who are our debtors? Our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Who are the debtors? Well, that's those who sin against you, right? Debts, that's you would feel as though they owed you something. Now, remember it says at the bottom, now forgive others their trespasses. Trespasses would be when someone has stepped over the line for you. They've crossed the line. You had a line in the sand, and you said you can do this and no further, and they stepped over that. Matthew 18:21, Jesus gives the instruction also, about how to lovingly confront your, just after Jesus has given all the instruction about how to lovingly confront your brother when he sins, and that's the whole thing about church discipline in Matthew 18, then Peter comes to Jesus and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus says, no, I tell you, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. I mean, Jesus is talking about forgiving your brother, and this is the church context, endlessly. And the word Peter uses is the common word for sin, hamartano. It's a verb, it's the same word. All three words that we talked about earlier are in play here in the area, in the arena of forgiveness. We have to forgive. Also, the third word is like, it's just the common word for sin, means they've fallen short of your standard. It would mean that you expected more of them, and they've disappointed you. You didn't get what you think you deserve from them. Maybe you know that God would have expected more of them, and they've sinned against you, but it's this idea that you have been sinned against. There's a debt, something they owe you. Now, before I go on, let me just push pause, take a moment. I'm guessing that pretty much everyone in the room can call to mind someone. Maybe you can call to mind more than one person who you feel has sinned against you. There's a debt you're owed. There's a transgression. They stepped over the line. There's a sin. They fell short of the standard. And you can think about that person. Now I want you to think about what Jesus says you must do. This is, secondly, this is our duty. Jesus taught his disciples to pray as we have forgiven our debtors. You're supposed to come, listen, get this. You're supposed to come daily praying for forgiveness from God for your sins. But as you come, you're supposed to already have forgiven those who've sinned against you personally. Oh, that means a bit of heart searching, doesn't it? That means dropping it, doesn't it? Letting it go. This is what you have to do. This is forgiveness. Same word. Afiemi, this is drop it. Let it go. Release it. This is dropping the charges. This is you in the filing system of your mind, if you could, erasing the file. And if you can't erase the file, you're placing it under the cross, if you can. You're dropping the charges. And I'm saying it's your duty. Obviously, it doesn't override the mechanism that Jesus has just given for dealing with serious offenses that have to be addressed at a discipline level in the church, right? I mean, it's going to be escalated. Step one, if they don't repent. Step two, if they don't repent. Step three, if they don't repent. Step four, if they don't repent, you put them out of the church. That's church discipline. We do that. We're not afraid of it, and we embrace it as given by Jesus. But that's for obviously quite serious transgressions, offenses. Now, listen, this free forgiveness from the heart, this has to be the normal. This has to be what we just apply as a default, doesn't it? This has to, otherwise, church is almost impossible. I mean, there's so many little offenses. If you're all starting step one church discipline with each other every week, it would just be a nightmare. I mean, we'd never do anything else as pastors. Marriage, by the way, marriage is intolerable if you start nitpicking each other and pursuing each other like this. Relationship, friendships, it's just impossible unless you default to forgiveness, to overlooking, to letting it go, letting it drop, giving it up. I want to talk thirdly about our danger under this second situation that I'm putting forwards, the second scenario when God won't forgive. I want to talk about our danger because there's a little word at the beginning of this sentence. It's the word as. Look at it. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And this introduces our danger as Christians. Jesus unpacked it immediately in verses 14 to 15 when he said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses." That's how Jesus unpacked it. I don't think it's anywhere more powerfully illustrated than Matthew chapter 18, if you want to go there quickly. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23, and this is the parable of the unmerciful servant. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to," note those words, it's a comparison to an earthly example, "compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." A talent was about 20 years' wages for a laborer. And since he couldn't pay, his master ordered him to be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had, payment made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him. He was begging, right? "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave the debt. Now, verse 28. "But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii." That denarius was about a day's wages. So we're talking about 100 days' wages instead of 20 years' wages. "And he seized him and began choking him. 'Pay what you owe. Pay me what you owe,' said this unmerciful servant." And so his, verse 29, and the guy pleaded with him. He refused, verse 30, put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Then his fellow servants told their master. And in verse 32, his master summoned him and said, "You wicked servant. I forgave you," listen to these words, "I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me." Those are the same words, by the way. "And you, should you not have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Now, quick note on interpreting parables and comparisons like this. It's not safe to take every detail in a parable and try to make it apply. Okay, it's just not safe. But Jesus does give us the application he wants us to take home. Verse 35, the next verse. Look at this, Matthew 18, verse 35. Listen, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." From your heart. Will you just let those words sink down into your heart? You and I have a duty. If we're going to follow Jesus, to forgive each other from our hearts. I'm saying to you, terrible scenario, God won't forgive if you won't forgive. This is basic to the Christian life. Ephesians 4:32. "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." This is normal Christianity right here. Basic Christianity. God forgave me. I forgive. Because I'm a wretch that didn't deserve forgiveness and I got it from God. So I forgive you. You don't even have to mention it. You just do it. You forgive them from your heart. Can I say this? Unforgiveness is a sin. Do you get that? Unforgiveness is a sin. Now, let me apply this quickly. I'm going to apply it in the same three areas that we applied the first point. First of all, listen, if you are not yet saved, and you're wanting to come to God and beg him for forgiveness, but you know in your mind, in your heart, you're thinking about someone and you're saying, "But I am never going to forgive them. I I could never forgive them. Now, you may be right in saying, I could never forgive them, but God could help you to forgive them, by the way. You need to go to God for the enabling to forgive. But look, if you're saying, I won't forgive them, if you're saying, I don't want to forgive them, no way. God won't forgive you. Why do I say that? You can go to God and ask for forgiveness. Forgive me, Jesus, for my adultery that I'm not willing to stop. I mean, what? God is not mocked, is he? A thief. Forgive me, Jesus. I have sinned, I've stolen today, and I'm going to steal tomorrow. You can't make fun of God like that. You've got to come repenting and believing. Repenting, you're laying down those things. So listen, if you're not yet saved, maybe this is why. You think about someone and you say, I'm never going to forgive them. God is never going to forgive you. You've got to come, you've got to lay it down. Friend, you've got to lay it down. You've got to let it go. This is repentance for you. Unforgiveness is a sin. And this is repentance for you. You've got to let it go. Now, quick note about forgiveness and crime, just so that no one's confused. I know there are some people who really struggle with this because they know someone has done something unspeakable to them in the past. I won't go into details for the sake of young ears. But you older, you know the kind of thing about which I'm talking. And those people who have done unspeakable things, they ought, by all accounts, they ought to face justice, right? They should face justice. They should probably go to prison, depending on the crime. And the question usually comes up, Tom, you're saying that I need to forgive this person who did this unspeakable thing to me in the past and just let them go scot-free? Well, yes. And no, listen to me now carefully, please. Yes, you need to forgive them from your heart. You need to let it go. You need to come to God as a wretched sinner. You need to look at your own sin and come to God asking for forgiveness and willing to forgive anyone that's done anything against you, right? That's basic Christianity. You've got to let it go. You've got to let it drop in your heart. However, no, I'm going to say, it doesn't mean that you can't and shouldn't want justice for that person. Actually, it's oftentimes confusion over this that leads to a lot of pain. I'm just going to state it quickly and leave us to talk about it later. There's no contradiction between forgiving someone from your heart and for their sake, and for the sake of society, wanting to see them face justice. There's no contradiction there. The most loving thing you can do for some people who've committed a crime like that and who are unrepentant about their crime, the most loving thing you can do for them is make sure they face justice, because that's part of God's mechanism for bringing them to repentance. And there are people who should go to jail and find repentance in jail. And let's put it out there. Those crimes, God has given us government and police and a criminal justice system for a reason, and we should use it. And people ought to be brought to justice. And sometimes people who are confused about this at a Christian level allow abusive people to go on abusing other people because they think, I'm supposed to just forgive. No, you're supposed to forgive from your heart, but if there's a crime, they should face justice. Let's put it out there, okay? I probably should just leave that there. Let me speak to people who are saved. Okay, so let me speak to people who are saved now quickly. I spoke earlier about the reality of our need to ask for daily forgiveness for our sins. And that God, that our Father won't, he won't discipline us for our sins if we're coming and repenting of them daily and asking for daily cleansing, that then they're forgiven. Praise the Lord. I need to add to that, though, now, this thought. Christian, God won't forgive your sin in terms of discipline if you won't forgive. Oh, this is serious, isn't it? If you will not forgive others who sin against you, and you're going to God daily and say, oh, forgive me for my sins today, I can think of all my sins today, And I'm asking forgiveness. Well, you're missing out one. It's called unforgiveness. And God is going to discipline you. Some of you husbands, some of you wives need to hear this, don't you? Woe to you if you will not forgive each other. Woe to you. Marriage will be miserable. And God will discipline you until you let it go, until you drop the charges, until you quit being judge and jury and executioner in your home. Give it up. Give it up. Or face God. Okay? Can I put it like that? Because Adam and I have only got so much time. And Ross. I'm not used to you being here, brother. So good to see you. Poor Ross spends so much time counseling people behind the scenes and praying for them day and night. We just don't, we can't deal with all the marriage issues if you won't forgive each other. Guys, you've got to forgive each other. Let's just put it out there. James 2:13, for judgment without mercy is to the one who has shown no mercy. Some of you need to wake up and start showing mercy to each other before it's too late, right? Anyway, let me speak about the church, thirdly. So I've spoken to the unsaved, spoken to you saved, and said, guys, we've got to forgive each other, otherwise we'll be disciplined. Now let me just speak to us as a church. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now this is really interesting, isn't it? Just a little tiny side note. Do we have a problem in the church with unforgiveness? I am regularly praying to God that he would forgive us as a church, as Grace Life London, forgive us our sins, because I see many, and there are many that I don't see. But I'm always praying, oh God, forgive us. We don't deserve it. We're a bunch of wretches gathered together because we've been saved by grace. We don't deserve it, but I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive us, to bear with us, to be patient with us, to have mercy upon us. And I'm nervous at the moment, okay? Can I say it like that? I'm nervous for us as a church. Because God won't forgive us our sins in terms of discipline as a church if we won't forgive each other. Does that make you nervous? It should. I'm hearing about people in fellowship groups who stop attending their fellowship groups because someone said something that they didn't like and it upset them. I mean, some people have left the church because we've said things they didn't like and it upset them. And that's, you know, that's always going to be the case, isn't it? But guys, if we have a problem with this as a church, if we don't forgive each other freely, if you can't go and be in the presence of another Christian who said something that upset you, you have a problem. All right? You have a problem. It's called unforgiveness. It's sin. God will discipline us if we don't forgive each other. It's a problem. And we have to deal with this, don't we? Or face God. And God, I believe, will discipline us as a church if we don't forgive each other. Also, just as a little side note as we close here, I've been thinking about this. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors as a church, corporately, together. And then I thought about the world. And I thought about the attitude that the church has to the world. And I thought, you know, there's two different attitudes, aren't there? There's two different pictures that the world can see when it sees us as a corporate body. It can see us as people who are forgiving of the sins in the world against us, our debtors, people who've treated us terribly. They can see us as a bunch of people copying our master, saying, Father, forgive them, they know what they do. Or they can see us as a bunch of people saying, I want my rights. And those are two very different pictures. There's all sorts of nuances, but I just thought I'd put the scenario in front of you. Two scenarios today when God won't forgive. Number one, when you won't ask. Number two, when you won't forgive. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, and for the sake of our Savior, we ask you to make us people who lay down our offenses, who let them go, who come to you having already forgiven those who have sinned against us. And we pray, Lord, that you'd make us people who beg you daily for forgiveness, who examine our hearts to see where we've sinned and confess it and receive the full and free forgiveness that you promise. You've promised it, Lord, and you've made it available through Christ. Oh, Lord, let us be those who know the joy of the Lord as our strength. And we pray for your help, that we as a church and we as individuals within it would shine this to the world. And we pray for those among us who are unsaved or people watching this, and we beg you, living God, save them. Draw people to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.